Hello, and welcome to the Yogg Blog Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Kertler. I'm trying to record this thing relatively live this time. Not going to spend a lot of time editing, so if I hem and haw a little more than normally, there's a reason for that. But anyway, this is your favorite podcast, I should hope, about Peanuts books. This is my favorite podcast about Peanuts books, because if there were any other ones, I'm not sure I'd listen to them. I wouldn't want them to change what I'm doing, so go ahead. And I've been thinking a lot lately about politics and Peanuts. And really, what triggered this? Well, America's recently had another painful, deadly mass shooting. And sadly, that will probably be true whenever you listen to this. I was just listening to another podcast that said the same thing. And then I realized that that podcast was months old and was referring to a different, earlier shooting. But in the wake of this shooting, there's been loud discussion about whether to restrict gun purchases in various ways. And that sent me looking for that one Peanut strip. You know the one. Charlie Brown learning that while Snoopy has a dog license, a fishing license, and even a driver's license, something that should worry us all, given his tendency to crash his airplane, he doesn't need a license for the rather deadly-looking rifle he's carrying, in a rather jarring image. I'm no gun expert, to put it mildly, so I cannot tell you what model it depicts. Knowing Schulte probably referenced something specific, but it is something that would be described as an assault rifle in today's discussion, as it does have the handle. That strip first ran on December 17th, 1988. They reran that strip just over 8 years ago, and I can find a letter to the editor complaining that the cartoonist wasn't funny, and here's what he should do if he wanted to keep things equal, seemingly without any realization the cartoonist in question had been dead for nearly a decade at that point, and past the point of wanting to do anything, including supporting the letter writer's politics. But that is an oddly political strip for Peanuts, even if there are multiple ways of viewing it. Peanuts touched on raw topics on rare occasions. Snoopy getting involved in a protest about Vietnam War dogs, for example, or some discussion over the law changes in regards to women's sports are quite the exception. Schulte definitely had his views that he was building from, but his personal politics don't seem to be severe. Filchin had been described, I think he even described himself as an Eisenhower Republican, which in today's world would be viewed as fairly centrist. Well, he did things like help fund the Ronald Reagan Museum, which is understandable, actually, for non-political reasons. He and Ronald Reagan had become friendly back in the 1960s. He's also a clear supporter of women's rights, which may seem a bit less controversial now than it did in the day. And besides, he was always cognizant that the strip was intended to sell papers rather than to cause trouble. But he was willing to do things like integrate a strip without announcing, "Hey, I'm making a point!" But outside of the strip, Peanuts found itself being a bit more affiliated with politics. And I'm not just talking about Linus running for student government in the TV special, "You're Not Elected, Charlie Brown." There were a couple of Peanuts books with a notable political bent. For example, in 1968, amidst various Snoopy for President banners and even a song that by the Royal Guardsmen, Hallmark released a book called The Peanuts Platform. This contained a series of images taken from the strip, each with a bit of theoretical political platform on it. Of course, they're not actually edgy stances. They're things like a firm stand on the issues, with a picture of Lucy giving Linus a big punch, or support for the little man, with Snoopy waving hi to some cute little bunnies. But the very first one, actually, carries some undercurrents of something real from the time. It shows a picture of the World War I flying ace saying, "Victory over the Red Baron." Now, remember, this was 1968, the year that America elected Richard Milhouse Nixon to its presidency. One of the most notable promises that Nixon made en route to his own victory was that he had a secret plan to end the war in Vietnam, victory over the enemy of the moment. This proved to be the hollowest of promises, as that war dragged on with no victory in sight and insufficient willingness to abandon a lost cause, and the war and America's involvement in it outlasted Nixon's full first term. America finally pulled out of the war in 1973, which would be after Nixon got reelected, although other players would keep the war going until 1975. Actually came to an end on my 10th birthday. And if you ever want to think of a good birthday gift for me, indeed, ending a war qualifies. I've got another birthday coming up in a couple months. What are you getting me? Now, around the time of Nixon's second election, Hallmark came out with a book called What Makes This Country So Great? With a cover that is red, white, and blue, and primarily pink, just to confuse you and make you uncertain of what country they're talking about. But it turns out to indeed be the United States of America. This book is carefully listed as not being by Charles M. Schulz, but featuring the Peanuts characters by Charles M. Schulz. Now, identifying what makes the country great may at first seem a matter of patriotism rather than politics, but it doesn't take a whole lot of looking into the politics of the moment to realize that the answer to that question is laden with politics. Think of the immigration debate, for example. One side is basically saying that it's the people of America that make the country great, and that we shouldn't be watering that down, while others assert that the regular infusion of people from other lands who seek to improve their lives is a key part of what has made America great, and that our willingness to provide a home to those in need is an example of our greatness. So it's a political question indeed, and the answer to which has been used to help or thwart many a cause. Now, in the book, the Peanuts characters talk about what makes America great, and they're each just listing a bunch of people. Linus reels off important folks from our history, including Washington, Lincoln, Lewis and Clark, and to mess with the list, Simon and Garfunkel. Schroeder, in turn, lists solely musicians, does not throw any historical figures in to balance Linus's Simon and Garfunkel. And relevant to the immigrant discussion, he includes Fritz Kreisler, who was born in Austria and did not move to the U.S. until he was in his late 30s. But there is one Peanuts character whose short list includes writer Ayn Rand. Rand, if you're unfamiliar with her work, is the mind behind objectivism, a philosophy that some see as the driving force behind modern libertarianism, and others see as the official author of Smug, Selfish Folk. Rand, whom I should note was another immigrant, not becoming a U.S. citizen until her mid-20s, is best known for the novels The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged, which largely depicts the world as made up of those who actually make and do things and should be celebrated, and those who leech and interfere, and whom the doers should be freed from. And let me make it clear, this is a nickel description from someone who has not actually read the book, so I place my apologies right here if you have some other interpretation. Which Peanuts character do you think would hold Rand in such esteem? Would be a reader of the writer for the smugly self-important? Now, a couple of you are probably saying Frida, whose personal value comes from her natural curly hair, but no. Frida's list was a bunch of actresses, plus curly-haired professional wrestler Gorgeous George. But the rest of you are guessing correctly. The Randite in the Peanuts crowd is none other than Lucy Van Pelt, she who aspires to the queenhood. Although to be fair, and to show the complications involved in any character, shortly after Rand on Lucy's all-women list is Bella Abzug, a fairly left-wing member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Abzug was most known for her strong support of feminism and for her hats. She had some rather wild hats, large. And looking at it today, I noticed something about Lucy's list that I never noticed before. Of the seven women she lists, four of them, Rand, Abzug, Betty Friedan, and what she refers to as Dear Abby, which would be the advice columnist Abigail Van Buren, which in itself was just a pseudonym for Pauline Phillips, they were all children of Russian Jews. And then there's the gossip columnist Rona Barrett on her list, also Jewish, although I'm not sure of the family background. And the sixth, Dorothy Parker, had a Jewish father, albeit not a Russian one. The only person on the list without visible Jewish heritage seems to be feminist author Kate Millett. Not sure if that tells us anything particularly about Lucy, or perhaps about whoever wrote the text for this. It is not listed. Now, What Makes This Country Great was part of a line of small hardcover Hallmark books intended to be used as greeting cards. The opening page has two, and then a blank space, then a truly outstanding citizen, and then a from space. My copy of the book, bought used, of course, has the word me in the from space and Santa in the to space. Apparently, someone assumed that the North Pole-based Santa Claus is an American citizen. Now, Snoopy, as I mentioned before, was on banners for running for president, was in a song about him running for president, and has been portrayed as running for president in other ways. He's even gone on to get some write-in votes in various elections, although never enough to take the post, even if fictional Beagle Americans were permitted. And on an occasion or two, candidates have made use of the Snoopy image, without proper license, of course. But then there's the interesting situation of Senator Al Franken. Now, Al Franken was a senator up until very recently, and had been since 2009 viewed as one of the major players on the left. But a decade before that, after his time as a performer and writer on Saturday Night Live, he produced a novel that made a joke of the idea of his entry into politics, being about his fictional presidential campaign, and that's an idea that a decade later would have seemed a real possibility. Anyway, in the book, which is called Why Not Me? The Franken campaign is largely in the pocket of insurance companies. When it comes time for campaign ads, MetLife arranges for some rather unlikely animated ads featuring the Peanuts characters. A couple of these ads are described in the book. Now, that may seem a little unlikely for MetLife to turn the Peanuts characters into political players, but that's actually something that they did, although not for an individual's political campaigns. No, they would use the Peanuts characters when they were trying to campaign on Congress, including on Senator Al Franken, of course, to pass legislation favorable to MetLife's interests. For example, back in 2011, well before MetLife ceded the Peanuts license, the insurance company took out an ad in Roll Call, a D.C. newspaper aimed at the lawmaking community. It showed a row of Peanuts characters, and beneath that, "Lifting trade barriers, when done right, creates opportunity." What that had to do with the Peanuts characters is not exactly clear. I mean, really, it's like one of those posters you used to see around campus and college that said free sex at the top, and then promoting something below that had nothing to do with sex. This was just a way to grab your attention before abusing it. At the bottom of the, was smaller text explaining why passing the free trade agreements, abbreviated FTAs, currently under consideration, was good for the country. Really thrilling stuff, like, there are now cases where our competition in other countries will have an advantage of an FTA in force, and the U.S. does not. Specifically, there is a clear threat in Korea due to the pending European Union-Korea FTA that goes into effect this summer. They ran another ad with a picture of Snoopy on his doghouse with the headline, "Create job growth in our own backyard." At least this one brings the Peanuts material better to the topic than the previous one had. After all, in the absence of free trade, there may be less worldwide opportunities for the world-famous grocery clerk. On the other hand, with interlocked economies, there's likely to be less need for a World War I flying ace. Well, that's about it for this particular political podcast. Be sure to follow the blog at aug.com, that's AAUGH.com. And if you have any votes on whether this was a good episode or any propositions for later episodes you'd like to campaign for, mail all that sort of stuff to questions@aug.com. And until next time, may your head Beagle administration be scandal-free. May your candidate of choice not use his debate opportunity to evangelize about the great pumpkin. And may all your griefs be good ones.